So we are hearing from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, explaining how the senses, her senses were completely satisfied by being engaged in the service of Krishna. Her eyes were satisfied to see Krishna's form and body, and her nose was satisfied to smell his fragrance, and her sense of taste, tasting the nectar of his lips and his Adara Amrita. And then we read how her sense, the palms of Krishna's hands and feet are so cool. Remember we were discussing about Krishna's hands and feet, how we can feel the touch of Krishna's hands and feet. Lamenting in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the doors of grief within his heart. Morose, humble, and disappointed, he read a verse again and again with a despondent heart. Yada yato daivan maruvipura so lochanpatam tadasmakam cheto marana patakena vritam abut punar yasmin nesha shanam abhidishur eti pandavim vindasyamas tasmin nakila gatika ratna kachita. Now this is in the mood of Radharani. This is from Jagannath Vallabha Nataka by Ramananda Roy. If by chance the transcendental form of Krishna comes before the path of my vision, my heart, injured from being beaten, will be stolen away by Cupid, happiness personified. Because I could not see the beautiful form of Krishna to my heart's content, when I again see his form, I shall decorate the faces of time with many jewels. And goes on. Whenever I had the chance to see Krishna's face and his flute, even in a dream, two enemies would appear before me. They were Pleasure and Cupid. And since they took away my mind, I was not able to see the face of Krishna to the full satisfaction of my eyes. If by chance a moment comes when I can again meet Krishna or see Krishna, then I shall worship those seconds, moments, and hours of flower garlands and pulp of sandalwood and decorate them with all kinds of jewels and ornaments. In an instant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained external consciousness, and he saw two persons standing before him. And he asked them, "Am I conscious? What dreams have I seen? What craziness have I spoken? Have you heard some expressions of humility?" So while he was speaking like this in the mood of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya was in internal consciousness. He was actually in a trance. He fell unconscious. And he was just speaking. Sometimes when you're sleeping, you're dreaming. And in your dream, you're speaking. So your husband or you're all married, or most of your husband or mother or father or something, they may hear you speaking. They come in your room or they say, "Hey," or even they may listen. They may listen for a little while and see what you're saying. I can remember before when we were married, sometimes our wife would say something in a dream, and I'd wake up and hear her speaking to someone. It's a very funny experience, actually. So Lord Chaitanya was in his this bhav, and he was speaking like this. And then when he woke up, he saw Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. So those aren't two ordinary persons. Those were his two most confidential associates, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. So they were on either side of Lord Chaitanya, just like when Radharani sometimes enters a trance in separation from Krishna. Then Lita's on one side, Vishakha's on the other side, whispering to her. And when Radharani is in external consciousness due to being falling down on a swoon on the ground, then Lita and Vishakha are on either side. One is chanting Krishna's name and one is chanting Radha's name. So Radharani, Lalita Sakhi, she's whispering into Radharani's ear. She's saying, "Sham, Sham, oh Sham." And then Vishakha's on the other side. She's saying, "Hey Priyaji." So it's Radharani saying, "Priyaji." She's saying, "Hey Priyaji. This is Priyaji." She was Purnamasi, but I gave her a new name. Priyaji. Priyaji. Aap kon hai? Lalita Sakhi, she's leaning over. And Radharani is just out and she's speaking something in her dream. And Vishakha is saying, "Oh, Priyaji, hey Priyaji, wake up, Priyaji, wake up." So when Lord Chaitanya woke up and he looked to his right and his left and he saw on one side Ramananda Roy and the other side Sarvadamodar. Sarvadamodar is the lead to Sakhi. And Ramananda Roy is Vishakha Sakhi. So when Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness, he saw them both. And although he was still talking in the ecstasy of Radharani, he immediately began to question whether he was the same Lord, whether he was the same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Shuna Mora Pranera Bhandava Nahi Krishna Premadhan Daridra Mora Jivan Dehendriya Vritta Mora Sabha. Mahaprabhu said, my dear friends, you are all my life and soul. Therefore I shall tell you that I possess no wealth of love for Krishna. Consequently, my life is poverty stricken. My limbs and senses are useless. So he's saying, in other words, when he was in this complete internal ecstasy of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radharani, was saying, my eyes have value because I can see the beautiful form of Krishna, and my nose has value because I can smell the beautiful fragrance of Krishna. But now he's saying that now I'm awake. He says that, I tell you, I possess no love for Krishna, no wealth of love for Krishna. And when Ramananda Roy was on the banks of Godavari, and he met Lord Chaitanya was asking him questions. He said, who is a wealthy man? Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy said, a wealthy man is one who has love for Krishna. He is a wealthy man. He possesses the greatest wealth. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya said, what song should a man sing? What are the best of all the songs that one could sing? There's so many songs you could sing. So what is the best song you could sing? And Ramananda Roy said, the best songs that you can sing are songs about the pure love of Radha Krishna. Songs that, prema sangeet, Radha Krishna prema sangeet. Songs about the pure love of Radha Krishna. So here Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'm not a wealthy man. I have no love for Radha Krishna. My senses and limbs, my anga and my indriya, are useless. My eyes are useless. My nose is useless. My arms and legs are useless. If they're not engaged in Krishna's service, they're just like, my arms are like sticks and my eyes are just like some marbles or something, you know, like little marbles. Their eyes are like little marbles, like kids use, you know. Puna kahe haya haya shuna swarup rama raya e mora vidaya nishchaya shunikara vichara haya haya naya kahasara. Etabali shloka ucharaya. Again, Mahaprabhu spoke to Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy very despondently. Alas, haya haya, my friends, you can know the certainty within my heart, and after knowing my heart, you should judge whether I am correct or not. You can speak of this properly. And Lord Chaitanya began to chant another verse. Kayava rahi am. Premam nahi hon manushe loy, jai hoy kasa virahe hon tami khoji hai. What language is this? This is a verse in a common language called Prakrita. And the exact Sanskrit transformation is, this is a kind of a branch, a type of Sanskrit, but what it really says is, Kaitava rahitam prema nahi bhavati manushe. Loke jari bhavati kasya viraho virahe satyapi hojivati. Translation. Love of Godhead, devoid of cheating propensities, is not possible within this material world. If there is such a love, there cannot be separation. Or if there is separation, how can one live? Pure love for Krishna, just like gold from the Jambu River, does not exist in human society. If it existed, there could be no separation. If separation were there, one could not live. This is the same verse in Bengali. Thus speaking, the son of Sri Sachimata recited another wonderful verse. And Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar heard this verse with rapt attention. Lord Chaitanya said, I feel very shameful to disclose the activities of my heart. Nonetheless, I shall be done with all formalities and speak from the heart. Please hear. Na prema gando stidarapi me haro krandami subhagya varam prakasitum vamshi vilasyana lokanam vina vibarmi yat prana Patagankan Brita. Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear friends, I do not have the slightest tinge of love of Godhead, prema ganda, nahi prema ganda, not even a scent, a ganda. I don't have the slightest scent of love of Godhead within my heart. When you see me crying in separation, I am just falsely exhibiting a demonstration of my great fortune. Indeed, not seeing the beautiful face of Krishna playing his flute, I continue to live my life like an insect without purpose. Dure shura prema ganda, kapata premera bhanda, seha mora nahi Krishna pai. Tabai je kare krandan, sosa bhagya praktyapan, kare iha janiya nishchai. Actually, my love for Krishna is far, far away. Whatever I do is actually false. When you see me cry, I am simply exhibiting my great fortune. Please try to understand this beyond a doubt. Jate bamshi dhwani sukha, na dekhi na chandamukha, yadyapi nahika alabana, nijadeha kari priti, kevala kamera riti, pranakiter kariye daran. Even though I do not see the moon-like face of Krishna playing on his flute, and although there is no possibility of my meeting him, still I take care of my own body. This is the way of lust. In this way I maintain my fly-like life." Purport. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, "The lovable Supreme Lord is the supreme shelter. The Lord is the supreme subject." That means Vishaya. "And the devotees are the object, Ashraya. Coming together of the subject and object is called alambana." Alambana is, there's a type of, when you're discussing prema tattva has one division called alambana. And alambana is divided into three aspects. One is called the, vibhav is divided into two aspects, alambana and udipan. So udipan are those things which stimulate love of Godhead. Like Krishna, the sight of Krishna, the sound of Krishna's flute, topics about Krishna, devotees of Krishna, Krishna's lilastan. These are objects, udipana. These are objects which stimulate, they're stimulants to love. And vibhav are the bhavas that follow in the, that these create. Another aspect of vibhav is called alambana. And alambana is divided into two features. One is the Ashraya Alambana, and the other is the Vishaya. The Vishaya is the subject of love, and the Vishaya Alambana is Krishna, and the Ashraya Alambana is Radha, or Radha's devotees. So that's what is being spoken of here. Or, the coming together of the subject and object is called Alambana. The object here is in the subject plays the flute. That object cannot see the moon-like face of Krishna, and has no eagerness to see him, is a sign of being without alambana. Externally imagining such a thing simply satisfies one's lusty desires. Thus one lives without purpose. Krishna prema sunirmala, jena shuddha gangajala, se prema amritara sindhu, nirmala se anurage na lokaya anyadage, shukta vastrayaiche Masi Bindu. Love for Krishna is very pure, just like the Ganga. That love is an ocean of nectar. That pure attachment to Krishna does not conceal any spot, which would appear like a spot of ink on a white cloth. Purport. Unalloyed love for Krishna is just like a big sheet of white cloth. Absence of attachment is compared to a black spot on that white cloth. Just as a black spot is prominent, so the absence of love of Godhead is prominent on the platform of pure love of Godhead. Shuddha prema sukha sindhu, pai tara eka bindu, se bindu jagatu bhai. Kahi bara jogya nai, tarapi bhole kaya, kaya, kahi leva keva patiyaya. Unalloyed love of Krishna is like an ocean of happiness. If someone gets one drop of it, the whole world can drown in that drop. It is not befitting to express such love of Godhead, yet a madman must speak. However, even though he speaks, no one believes him. E matadine dine sorup, sorup ramananda sane, Nija bhava karena vidita vaye vishadwala haya vitare anandamaya Krishna premara adbhuta charita. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to revel in ecstasy day after day and exhibit these pastimes before Sarup and Ramananda Roy. Externally, there appeared to be severe tribulation, as if he were suffering from poisonous effects. Bahe visha dwala hayam. But internally, he was experiencing bliss. Bitare anandamaya. Bitare. This is the characteristic of transcendental love of Krishna. Krishna premara adbhuta charita. Adbhuta charita means the astonishing characteristic, adbhuta, the amazing characteristic of love. It appears like one is suffering from the effects of poison, but he's relishing the greatest nectar. Externally, it seems like he's suffering from the effects of poison. He's perspiring, he's sweating, he's crying. It looks like some poisonous effect. But internally, you want to be too close to Giridhari. So you're knocking everything over over there. She's just like underneath, she's trying to move underneath Govardhan Hill. Because you're not allowed to walk on Govardhan Hill, so she wants to make a cave underneath Govardhan Hill. It's like Raghava Goswami by Punchari. He has one cave. And he has one cave there where he used to do bhajan 500 years ago. And when Nityananda and Jiva Goswami came to Vrindavan, and Raghava Pandit, he took them around Vrindavan. And Srinivasacharya came also. And that's described in Bhakti Ratnakara. So you're trying to get inside the cave under Govardhan Hill. The idea is that even though externally it may look like this, like Vahi Visha, some poisonous effects of Vitari Anandamaya. Vitari under Ananda. So within oneself, one is experiencing the greatest happiness. That's the same thing was there. One time a newspaper reporter, he asked a disciple of Prabhupada, he said, why does your Gurudev look so sad? He always looks so sad. So grave and so sad. He's not big. He doesn't have a big Hollywood smile on his face or a big cinema star smile. Like some movie star, some lady, you know, advertising some toothpaste or something, or you know, some kind of makeup or something, you know, some product. So then the devotee didn't really know how to answer so much. So then he asked Prabhupada himself. He said, Prabhupada, what is it? What do I tell? Tell the reporters when they see your pictures and they look so grave, very serious. And Prabhupada said, you should understand that. If externally the spiritual master looks grave, that you should understand, even though he may look grave or serious or he's not smiling externally, internally he's swimming in an ocean of bliss. Internally he's swimming in an ocean of bliss. So that's why it's described when you read the six Goswami's prayers. Do you have a Vaishnava songbook? No? There's a Vaishnava songbook and there's one prayer called the Sad Goswami Ashtakam. Famous prayers to the six Goswamis. So in there's one prayer that describes the sadhana, the strict sadhana of the six Goswamis. And then it also describes their internal, their external behavior, their sadachar, and it describes their internal bhavana, how they were vitari anandaras. But externally, their sadhana was like the lines drawn on a stone, very like lines on a stone. You can't take them out. If you have a black stone with some white line mixed in. It's like, you can't take that out. It's hard. Yeah, that prayer. It's called Goswami Ashtakam. So one of those prayers, if that one particular prayer describes their external sadhana and their detachment renunciation, and the reason they were able to externally show that renunciation, detachment, that they were swimming in a rasa ananda. They were vitare rasa anandamaya. So what is that prayer? Sankhya purvaka namagana natavi kalava sannikrito nidra hara vihara kari vijato chatyanta dino chayo gopi bhavar samrita vilahari kalola magno muhur Mande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako Mande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopala Ko Vande Rupa Sanatana Rabhuyago Sri Jiva Gopala Ko. Srinivasacharya glorifies the six Goswamis in his prayer by saying that the six Goswamis were Sankhya Purvakagana Nama. They were doing Sankhya Nama. Sankhya means counting. They were counting the name. 1, 2, 14, 15, 16. Shilagan. How you want? No. 17, 20, 29, 30, 40, 50, 61, 62, 63, 64.
Every day.
Sankhya Purva. 64 rounds a day. 1 lakh. Lakhpati. When you get Japa Mala has 20 beads, counters have 20 beads, right? So 16 beads for one round, and then four beads for 64 rounds. That's why you have 20 beads. 16, then when you do 16, you move one of the four, you keep the four separate, and 16 are here, and the four you split. When you do, after you do 16 rounds, then you move one. Okay, then you 32, then 48, then 64. Okay? Every day? Okay, let's say 16, 16, 32. You leave your beads here all day, so how you do 16? So this is that they were doing the Sankhya Purvakanama. This is Sankhya Purvakanama Gana Natibi. Natibi, Natibi means obeisances. Natibi means humility. Nati means offering obeisances to Vaishnavas, obeisances to Vaishnavas, obeisances to Thakur. Natibi means Prikama. Radhakun Prikama, Govardhan Prikama, this is all Natibi. Nati. They're very prideless and very humble. And this is, so they were doing so many. Raghunath Das Goswami was offering 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas every day, 1,000 obeisances to Thakurji, Ekazar Namaste, Pranams Thakurji, 2,000 Pranams Vaishnav. So, how is it possible? Radhakund and Das Goswami is living at Radhakund, there were 2,000 Vaishnavas. Even today, there's not 2,000 Vaishnavas. So he was doing so much manasa pranams. He was thinking, oh, Sri Damodar Goswami ki jai, Ramananda Roy ki jai, like that. And he's offering obeisances. Just like if your Vaishnava is not in front of you, you can think, oh, you can think Gopal Krishna Goswami ki jai, and offer your obeisances. Then in your room, you can offer dandapads. You can think, and you can go through all your different gurus and all your different teachers, and you can offer obeisances, even in a, if they're not there, because Krishna is there, and everything you do is being recorded by Krishna. It's not that Krishna is far, far away. It's not that Krishna is far, far away. Well, he is far away, but he's also very near. He's antaryami. He's entered. He's gone inside. He's bahiryami and he's antaryami. He's outside and he's inside. So he's inside writing down, oh, so many obeisances. So the Goswamis, externally, they did so many obeisances, so many rounds. And then, Nidra Ahara Vija Padito. Vijato, Nidra, they were victorious. They were very victorious over Ahara. Ahara means eating. Nidra means sleeping. They were very victorious over eating and sleeping, only a few hours a day. So they're very strict in their sadhana. So this is their sadhachar. Their sadhachar is a sadhu. It's called sadhu vichara. Their behavior, their activity is a sadhu. Now internally, this shloka also reveals the internal position of their heart. As we hear the Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is bitare ananda rasa, ananda, bitare ananda moya. So inside he's made of ananda. His whole moya means made of. His whole inside is complete. What is inside? Inside is the heart, inside is the mind, inside is the intelligence. So his inside was completely made of bliss, spiritual bliss, prema. So this is described in this next line by Srinivasacharya. He says, Gopi Bhava Rasamritavi Lahari Kalola Magnamahur. So they were diving, they were swimming and diving in the ocean, in the waves of the ocean of Gopi Bhava Ras. Gopi Bhava Rasamritavi. Abdi means like ocean and waves. Gopi Bhava Rasamritavi Lahari Kalola Magnamahur. They were just swimming in the ocean of Gopi Bhava. So their hearts were always relishing the pure love of the gopis for Radha and Krishna. This is the same thing. So, of course, we're not like that, but we can appreciate what Lord Chaitanya is saying here, that this is his actual mood. This is the characteristic of love of Godhead. Externally, one will... Because we are actually meant to follow Rupa Goswami. We're called Rupanugas, or Raganugas, or Rupanugas. We're followers of Rupa Goswami. So that means externally we follow the sadhana vichar, the behavior. We're very strict in our sadhana. But internally we're supposed to develop this softness of heart, this purity of heart. We're actually supposed to develop love for God. That is the internal position of the devotee. So I'll stop here. As I mentioned, we'll spend some time for Ishtagosti. Giridhari is there looking at Radha. Radha's looking at Giridhari. And in her hands, she's... That's like when the child is crying, the mother rubs, puts a hand on the child's head. It's okay. Radha, Chandra was there, Indra, Shiva, Brahma. They all came. And they... because the Srinagadeva was hot. He was very angry. And he was so angry that the whole universe was practically, they thought it was about to burn up. And so they were a little worried because they, although the demon was now killed, they wanted to pacify, they wanted to cool down the anger of Srinagadeva. Because they felt if he gets so angry, maybe he'll just look at us and just devour us too. Because, you know, we're not all that great of devotees, and he might just like vent his anger, look at us and just start pulling his claws up and grabbing us out of our planets and, you know, crunching us between his teeth. Because after Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, thousands and thousands of soldiers and allies of Hiranyakashipu attacked Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev manifested a form, although he had, when he originally came out of the column, he had eight arms. When all of his associates attacked him, he manifested thousands of arms. When all the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu attacked him, then he just started just crunching them all with his hands and putting them in his mouth, just, you know, chewing on them like peanuts, you know. You know, just like completely just annihilated thousands of them. So all the devatas were quite alarmed and fearful. So they all came there with folded hands, and they started uttering all kinds of stutis and stotras. But he wasn't doing anything. So then Lakshmi was there also. They told Lakshmi, "Hey, do something with your husband, will you? You know, cool your husband down. You know, you have to cool him down. He's really going crazy." So she says, "This is not, I don't know who this is. I never saw this guy before. I don't know who this is. It's your husband, it's Narayan. I never seen anybody like that as my husband, with a big teeth, with a big hairy head and all this fur and everything." He said, you know, and she didn't recognize him, because she's never seen that form before. It's the first time that form has ever been shown. She didn't recognize him. She said, "I don't know who it is." Told him Bhagavatam. No, she didn't recognize her own husband. Just like maybe on Halloween, or I don't know, if you have costume parties sometimes in the city, you have a costume party, like in the West, you know. So maybe your husband, you know, he goes out and he gets some costume, and then he comes home, and you're at the door or something, he dresses up as some monster or something, and then, you know, he opens the door, the wife just goes crazy, you know, runs away and gets her son, says, "Help, help." So then he says, "No, it's me." So when the Srinagadeva appeared, Lakshmi was, she knew he wasn't home because he left. He wasn't home at the dinner table, he wasn't there. He knew her husband wasn't there, he went somewhere. He went down to see Prahlad and to liberate him and protect him. So she knew she was missing her husband, everyone said, "This is him." So they brought her there, Brahma, and they said, "Look, your husband's down here, come and see him." And she said, "Huff." So she was afraid to even speak to him. But then Prahlad, because he's a devotee, he was fearless. So Prahlad paid all the demigods. They went to, "Hey, Prahlad, here, you're a little kid. He won't hurt a kid, you know. You're just a little kid. He won't hurt you." They pushed Prahlad up there. So he went and he offered his prayers. And he didn't know what to say. He's just a little boy. So then Srinagadeva, he reached out and he put his hand on Prahlad's head. His fingernails are just like sharp razors, like thunderbolts, but his palm was as soft as a lotus. It was resting on his head. And Prahlad felt very sheltered there, and when the palm of Lord Nrisimhadeva's hand touched his head, then he was empowered. He was completely empowered to speak all these beautiful Sanskrit stotras. and shlokas, which he did. He offered in the Bhagavatam. Prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Vandanam. So he was sheltered there under the hand of Nrisingadeva. So that's, we prefer to be under the hand of Radharani. We prefer to be sheltered under the Kara Ashraya. Kara Ashraya, the shelter, Kara, this is Kara? Or you say hot? You say hot. I think in Sanskrit it's called Kara. Kara means hand. K-A-R-A. So Kara Ashraya or Hata Ashraya, Radharani. The shelter of her lotus palm. Padmahat. Padmakara. You say Padmakara. Padmakara means lotus hand. And that lotus hand, of course, comes before us as Guru. Guru, of course, is representative of Srimati Radharani. So sometimes Guru puts the hand on the head. You see some pictures. There's a famous picture of Tarun Kanti Ghosh. He's no more. He died a couple years ago. But he was, his father or grandfather started a paper called Amrit Patrika. What's it called? Amrit Bazar Patrika? From, I think it's Calcutta side. He's a Bengali. I don't know what, maybe his father was S.K. Ghosh or something. But he was Tarun Kanti Ghosh, and he was like MP for Bengal at one time, in the 70s. And he became good friends of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. And he would visit Prabhupada in Mayapur and do different favors and help them in different ways. So there's some pictures you'll see in the archives, and maybe during Centennial you saw, there's some young man, young Bengali person who's about 35, and he's kind of long black hair, like a movie star, kind of handsome guy. And Prabhupada's smiling, and he's looking at Prabhupada like a little kid, he's like this, and Prabhupada has his hand in his hair, and he's rubbing his head like this. Very sweet, very, very sweet. I personally met Tarun Kanti Ghosh about 5 years ago in Mayapur, and he took me with him to his guru. His guru lived across the river in Navadvipa in an ashram. We spent the afternoon together, took lunch, and spent about 5-6 hours together. Very nice man. So sometimes the guru will place his hand on the head of the disciple to bless him. And that, so the hand of guru on the head is just like having the hand of Radharani on one's head. There's a story of one godbrother, my godbrother, Bhaktitirtha Swami. He has a black body, African body. He's born in America, and he has a master's degree in psychology from Princeton University, which is a very prestigious school in America, Princeton. It's like Harvard or Yale. It's a very prestigious school. And he was the head of the student union. He was a very, very exalted person. Now he's a big guru in Africa. He's so much big in Africa, Bhaktitirtha Swami. A very wonderful speaker and revolutionary, powerful preacher. He meets with the Prime Minister of Uganda and the Prime Minister of Kenya. He meets directly with the Prime Minister, has lunch with them. And he's a very big person. And so he was preaching in Russia back in the 70s when it was illegal. And he was going undercover there, and he would have books in his raincoat. They would sew a lining in his raincoat, and they put Bhagavad Gita's. He'd walk along with his raincoat, and he'd meet somebody, go in an apartment, and take out the Bhagavad Gita, and they would study together. And so he was risking his life for Prabhupada. And then he got caught by the KGB, and they put him up in this prison type, like a political prisoner type prison. And they thought he was a CIA agent, as usual. He was simply Krishna's agent, distributing, you know, he was a BGM, Bhagavad Gita man, distributing the Bhagavad Gita. So they put him in, and they wanted to crack him to find out who he was working for and the secrets and what he was trying to get from Russia. So they wouldn't feed him anything except cabbage. They gave him, patal gobi, and nothing else. And then they would send these ladies in, these pretty, some kind of pretty Russian ladies, and they would try to seduce him and get him to, you know, break his vow. He's a brahmachari. In that time, he's a brahmachari. And he's a young man and, you know, kind of handsome, I guess. So he would always say, "Get out of here, get lost. Well, he was fixed. He was fixed in brahmacharya, and he was protected by Lord Chaitanya, my Prabhupada. Even he was alone in a room, and young ladies would come in, and they locked the door, and, you know, they'd try to break his vow, but he didn't give up his vow. So then afterwards, he got free from that ordeal, and he met Prabhupada in Mayapur. And he tells the story himself. He said, one sannyasi said, Prabhupada Bhakti Tirtha Das is here. I mean, that's his sannyasi name. His name was Ghanasham. Prabhupada Ghanasham is here. Prabhupada gave the name Ghanasham. And he says, he's black skin. He's a black man, you know. So someone said, the secretary, Prabhupada said, Ghanasham is here. He just got back from Russia. And so then Ghanasham, he said, come in and tell me what happened. I'm very anxious to know about your preaching in Russia. So I went in and Prabhupada, and he said, here, you come next to my asan where Prabhupada's sitting. He sat there. He said, Prabhupada, this happened, that happened. And then Prabhupada, he went like this, and he rubbed his head. He said, oh, my son, you risk your life for me. He said, I'm so happy. He said, now your life is perfect. Now Krishna will give you all, has given you all mercy and all blessings. And he's rubbing his head like that. And he told him. And so he got the real blessings of Prabhupada with those words and that touch on his head. And so, of course, he went on. He always was a great devotee, good devotee. Now he went on to become one of our big leaders of this cause and really doing amazing work in Africa and all over the world preaching. So this is another example of the hat, ashraya, the shelter of Guru's hand on the head. Two things that strike me about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there's two things that we should derive from him, because everyone has something to give us. So there's one thing that strikes me about Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that he was a very systematic preacher, very, very systematic. That he organized the philosophy in a very systematic way, point by point. You know, the five types of religion and the four types of men and the three types of mentalities. And he has everything very systematic. And if you read his books, being modern age with computers and categories and so many systems now to organize data and information, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is way ahead of his time and is very much appreciated. So to get this appreciation of this systematic, he presented the philosophy in a very systematic and easy way to understand. So you have to read his books in order to understand how systematic, especially Chaitanya Shikshamrita, I think it's available in Hindi, you can get it in Mathura. I think Narayan Raj has published it, maybe others. I'm reading English, it's available from America. It's not sold in India, but anyway, one godbrother translated it. So I've read it in English. Now, Gaudiya Math has it in English, but it went out of print. Madras Gaudiya Math printed it in English, but it went out of print. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Jiva Dharma is also in Hindi. And these are two very important books, Chaitanya Shikshamrita and Jiva Dharma. So if you read those, because if you read Prabhupada's books are full of devotion, full of bhakti, full of Krishna consciousness. But sometimes it's hard to get, if you want to know what is Sankhya philosophy or... Because there's a little bit of everything told, a little bit on this page, a little bit on that page, and it's kind of all different philosophies are told throughout, but it's not systematically developed, like in a theme, like if you're writing a college theme or a thesis. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very much, I think I gave you something called Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, a photocopy of questions and answers. Remember? I said this will be very helpful. I don't know if you ever, you probably just filed it. But did you have a chance to read that? Like, it has questions. What is a Vaishnava? So he wrote many, many pamphlets in Bengali because he started Nam Hatha. Nam Hatha is like congregational preaching. And you could call it decentralized preaching. In other words, the center is the temple or the mandir and the ashram. So he wanted to decentralize that because only 50 people can live in the ashram, but there's 50 million people in Bengal. So how do 50 million people fit in the ashram? If that's the only way you can get Krishna consciousness is in the ashram, then those 50 million people are out of luck. So he developed the Nam Hatha, the marketplace of the holy name. In other words, each person's house can become a mandir, and each village can become an ashram, and each house can become an ashram. They developed all these pamphlets, like one of them is called Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, which is a small pamphlet of questions and answers. You know, why is Krishna God? And all these, in Bengali, so just people could read 12 pages or 10 pages and get a quick summary of the philosophy. I gave her a copy in English, which I had. It's very helpful. So that's one point, and you have to read his books to get that understanding. Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita are very helpful. Yes, Gitavali, Gitamala. He wrote over 115 books. Very, very systematic. And of those 115 books, about 10 of those books were song books. So the first point is his systematic presentation of the scientific philosophy of Prema Bhakti, of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Most scientific presentation, step by step. In fact, I'm thinking at some point of having classes on Chaitanya Shikshamritam in the temple in the morning, because that's when the majority of devotees are there. Have a series of classes on each tattva, on rasa tattva, on prema tattva, on chintya veda tattva. Because he presents these things in a very nice way. But it requires some preparation. I don't have time right now. The second contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that he gives the emotional basis, the emotional basis for Krishna consciousness. So you need philosophy and siddhanta, which he gave in a very systematic and scientific way, which I've established. But our siddhanta, or our Vedanta, the end of our Vedic knowledge, is actually bhakti. So it's Vedanta and bhakti. Our Gurudev was the perfect synthesis of both. That's why he was given the title Bhakti Vedanta. He was full of devotion and pure love for Krishna, but he was full of Vaishnava Siddhanta, or he knew the conclusion of the Vedas. Vedascha Sivaraham Eva Veda Yo Vedantarpid Veda Vedavacham, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So, in his bhajans, which he wrote about 10 song books, Gitavali, Gitamala, Karpanya, Doshika, Sharanagatis, different song books he wrote, he gives the foundation, the emotional foundation for a devotee. And he divides those songs into different categories. There's Siddhi Lalasa, there's songs where you aspire for Siddhi. Siddhi Lalasa. Those songs where you're aspiring for some devotional perfection. And then he has songs of lamentation. Then he has songs of unhappiness, ashok, lamentation. Where you're, and then songs of, like, he has one song, Gopinath. Some of his songs are in our songbook, our Vaishnava songbook. We have some of his songs. And they are in those different categories. So one category is where one laments his loss of life. Oh, I wasted my life in material pursuits. I wasted my life in education. Now I'm an old man. I don't have much energy left. I don't have much time left. And I'm trying, and with the little bit of time and energy I have left, I'm trying to develop devotion for Krishna. Oh, what an unfortunate soul I am. I wasted 3/4 of my life in school and playing and in family pursuits. He mentioned. So there's this one category of songs. And there's another category of songs where he's saying, oh, when in my spiritual body will I render service, when in my spiritual body as a mandri or as a sakhi will I render intimate service to Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. So there's like songs of aspiration where you're aspiring for perfection in your swarup siddhi, in your perfect spiritual body, where you render various services to Radha and Krishna. And all these different categories. So he probably is the greatest contributor to the science of Krishna consciousness, because he gives not only the philosophical development and siddhanta, but he actually helps us formulate the proper mood of devotion, the proper heart of a devotee. The Prabhupada once said that a preacher should have the, he said a sannyasi or a preacher should have the courage of a, really said a courage of a British fighter and the heart of a Bengali grandmother. Something like that. You should have the courage of a British soldier and determination of a British soldier and whatever that means, and the heart of a Bengali grandmother, a Didima. Didima. You should have a very soft heart, compassionate heart, but you should be very courageous and bold, very bold preacher, like a fighter or something. So this heart aspect, the heart aspect is what's developed by the bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans. They're famous. His bhajans are famous all throughout Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And he gives us all different categories. He gives so many bhajans for lila, like Astakali lila bhajans. For example, we sing one song. Bhaja bhakata vatsala shri gora hari, shri gora hari, sohi goshta vihari, nanda jashomati chita hari, shukta shakadi bhaji, nalita kushmanda, dali dalna dugda tumbi, dadi moksha kanda. Luchi chini sarpuri, ladu rasa bali, Bhajana Korena Krishna Oye Kutuhavi Vaja Bhagata Vatsala Sri Gaurahari. So, this bhajan, although we generally sing it at noon arti, this bhajan is for Pratakal. This is Pratakal Leela. Because this bhajan depicts the scene. It actually it is Leela Kirtan. It depicts the scene of Krishna in Nandagam at between 6 o'clock in the morning and 8:24, which is known as Pratakal, Pratak Leela. Pratak. Prata, or Pratak. Because at 7:30 in the morning, Krishna is in Nandagam with all the coward boys, and they all sit down in rows, and they all take their prasadam, which is cooked by Radharani. She cooks all the grains, and all the sakis are in Nandagam cooking for them. And then they go wash their hands, and then they lie down in beds, and then they get fanned, and they tumble, and they rest, and everything's wonderful. So this song is for that. It's for bhajan. So there are all different kinds of things. So these are the two major contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gives a philosophical underpinning and foundation for Krishna consciousness in a very systematic way. If you have trouble, you know, figuring out how it all fits together and everything by reading Prabhupada's books, because it's all there actually. But that's why some devotees have taken Prabhupada's books and they've made separate books like Srinamamrita. There's one book called Srinamamrita, the Nectar of the Holy Name. And they have another book, The Guru and the Spiritual Master and Disciple or something like that. There's some book called Spiritual Master and Disciple. That was during Prabhupada's time. So that devotee took all Prabhupada's books and he took all the quotes out about Guru Tattva. In other words, there's a Tattva there's called Guru Tattva. What is Guru? What are the qualifications of Guru? So it's in Prabhupada's books, but there's a little on page 20, a little on page 80, a little on page 200, a little bit in this book. So he took it all out and put it in one book. Because like we have a book appreciating Vrindavan Dham. So we took Prabhupada's 30 books, and we took 50 other books by Goswamis, 50 different books. So 50 books, and we took 80 books and went and squeezed them all together and made one book, appreciating Vrindavan. But it has 80 shastras are inside, all different quotes in one place. So it becomes very, you know, it's relishable. You have a question? That's all I want to say about Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a few minutes. So therefore, our response to that presentation is, yes, then I must sing these bhajans. I must sing these bhajans and try to identify. We should become taratmika. When we say one should follow in the footsteps, what does it mean to follow in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan? That means externally, like we say, the purpose of, if you want to attain the perfection of life, you have to follow in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. So what does it mean to follow in the footsteps? Does that mean you go to Vrindavan, get on the Parikrama Marg and walk behind some guy? You know, oh, he goes this way and that way. Yeah, I'm following the footsteps. You live in Vrindavan? Yeah. Okay, start walking. You know. Oh, now you're going to the sabji market. You're buying sabji. Okay, I'll take sabji. Now you're going, you get a kilo gore. Okay, give me a kilo gore. Oh, no. And you go around. Now you're going to the school field. Oh, anyway, I'll wait. Okay. You go, okay, come back. Now you're going home. And that's not following the footsteps. Following the footsteps. What does it mean to follow in the footsteps? Following the footsteps means that externally as a sadhaka, you follow Rupa Goswami, or your guru who's following Rupa Goswami. He's a Rupa Nuga. He's supposed to be following Rupa Ragana. That's your guru. So externally you follow Rupa Goswami. You do sadhana bhajan, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, and all these things. You know, worship the deities, and do parikraman, you study swadhyaya and tapasya, and all these things. And internally you follow Rupa Goswami's Rupa Mandri. What are her moods of service? How is she serving Radharani? Sri Rupa Mandri Pada. We have that bhajan. Sri Rupa Mandri Pada. So when will I be, when the wealth of my life is Sri Rupa Goswami outside and inside. So, to follow the residents of Vrindavan, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us. Because when he shows us all these bhajans, this develops the heart. We have to develop the heart and the bhav of the residents of Vrindavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is a resident of Vrindavan. Externally, he's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Internally, he's Kamala Mandri. And Kamala Mandri is rendering so much intimate service to Ananga Mandri. And he's underneath Ananga Mandri. Ananga Mandri is Radharani's younger sister. So, therefore, when you study Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans and you sing those bhajans, it helps you develop the heart of a Vrijavasi. Proper heart, proper mood. Yeah. Such those songs are... So if one is only studying Shastra and not singing bhajan, you see so many pictures of Prabhupada playing harmonium and singing bhajan. It's a very much important aspect, singing bhajan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us hundreds of bhajans. Another unique thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, aside from giving the moods and the perfections and the lamentations of the philosophies in the bhajan, which I mentioned in the previous class, like the philosophy of nectar devotion and Ujjvala Nilamani, which is the sequel of Prema Bhakti and Prema Tattva, he took that philosophy and he put it into a bhajan in Gita Mala. Or it's Gita, I think it's Gitavali or Gita Mala, I forget which, I have in Vrindavan. And so you can sing a beautiful Bengali bhajan which describes what is Staibhav. There's a bhajan about Staibhav, and a bhajan about Anubhavs and Vibhavs, and a bhajan about Alambana and Ashraya and Vishaya. And a bhajan, he has a whole bhajan about Udipan. It's all beautiful rhyming Bengali poetry. But when you sing it and you know the meaning of the words, you learn what are all the Udipans. Krishna's flute, Krishna's footprints, Krishna's dress, Krishna's voice, these are all Udipanas, or stimulations to love, for Krishna, or attraction.